blessed Lord said he was the light of the world.
And then he said, before he departed, he said, ye are the light of the world. Now, is there something wrong here? No. Hymn number 679 sings about he's the light of the world, and then we'll try to explain how we are the light of the world. 679.
Now here are a few verses from the Word of God. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works, and glorify your Father which is in heaven. This is God's word. Let us pray. Now, our Father, as you have providentially arranged for us to be here tonight, we desire very much that we may have your presence and blessing upon us, and that you would be honored, and Father, that we might receive what is needed for each of our lives. As individuals, we have needs. And so we pray you to look upon us individually and collectively as a church. Thank you for the blessed word. Thank you for salvation in our Lord Jesus and the work at Calvary in our behalf. And our Father, we pray, we're grateful for the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Guest, and dwelling us and guiding us. Guide us tonight, Spirit of God, as we look at this precious word, that our Lord Jesus received the preeminence. In his name, amen. Thank you. Be seated. So in this chapter 5 of Matthew, we have a description of kingdom children called the Beatitudes. Now, there are some churches that basically live on these Beatitudes as their policy of church. And I have been around them, and I know this, that you cannot, in your own selves, become these characteristics without the power of God. You can't do it humanly, in the Beatitudes. And what are we talking about? Well, we're talking like verse 3, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You try to do that yourself, you can do it. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek. These are descriptions of kingdom children. And though if you say you're a child of God, then you ought to have these characteristics. And it said, blessed are they meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, and for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. And ye are the salt. These are the characteristics. This is how it's supposed to be demonstrated, the Beatitudes. How? Why, being like salt, ye are the salt of the earth. But if salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. And then tonight, this parable of the light. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Indeed, he said, ye are the light of the world in verse 14. You see, he's no longer here. His spirit is here, that's true. But he was here, and he worked. He did what he was called to do. And, of course, he was crucified and buried, and he rose again. He's back in heaven. Now he said, you're to be the light of the world. I'm back. I'm going back. You're to be the light of the world. Say, wow. To whom was he speaking? Well, he was speaking to the multitude, and suddenly he turned, I believe, to the disciples, and he talked to them. He said, now listen, this is what a kingdom child is all about, the Beatitudes. Now, you're to function as salt, and salt has to do with the matter of preserving, maintaining, keeping meat from rotting. And he said, you need to be salt. And he said, but you know something? If you're not careful, it can lose its savor. Well, there are those scientifically saying salt never loses its savor. Yeah, but you see, when we look at the kind of salt that it had back in that day, that around the Dead Sea, it is not the same the kind of salt that you have in your salt shaker, I'll tell you that. What is it? Well, it's along the bank there, and there's some weeds with it, and there's some sand with it, and they take it, and they dry it, and they used it. But if a rain would come upon it, it would soak out. What's it good for? Put it on the land? No, it might kill the crops. There's some left over. So what he said, the only thing we can do is throw it on the road. And let as it walk on it, as it says there, it's good for nothing, verse 13, but to be cast out and to be trodden on the foot of man. And then he comes up with this about being the light of the world. And that's quite a compliment. You know, if I were to describe those 12 disciples, I'd say, well, look, they're fishermen. You know, they're not really brainy guys, I suppose, with their doctor's degrees and all that, which we think so much about. And he said, you're the light of the world. You're the salt of the world. And but, you know, when I read this, you know, it's very simple, isn't it? But, you know, the tendency in verse 14 is say, well, so I'm to be light. All right, I can read that. And it says, I'm not to be like a city. I'm to be like a city that's set on a hill. You can't hide me. Some people like to, I believe that really we do this. We have an inferior complex about religious things, and we kind of pull in our shell a little bit, and well, I can't do anything, you see. I haven't been, I can't do anything. But you're very successful about your work and your property. Yeah. Well, then, I can't do anything. An inferior complex, too high. Run to the monastery. Run to a church fellowship. You can hide here. We can let our light shine for Sunday and Wednesday, can't we? Oh, I go to church all the time, you know. I'm really something. But you just hide here. The Word of God has said, listen, don't try to camouflage. Don't try to hide. You're to be light. And you're to radiate. Somehow, some of us had to get that in mind, that we're not just to say, well, I'm a nobody, I can't do anything. They weren't anything either, but God used them mightily. They turned upside down the world. Don't despise the day of small things. And the Lord wants us to really to please Him. And it says, that last verse, verse 16, is powerful. Let that light, let your light. That's a command, by the way. You like commandments? Verse 16 is a command. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Powerful. It really is powerful. So I can't do it. No, he said, you're light. Well, now, hold on here a bit. I don't see many of us beaming up here. He said, I want to tell you, if I've worked in your life and you're a kingdom child, you've been transformed, you've been saved, and you have my spirit, I'm telling you, ye are light. You're light. You know, in the Greek, it's that same thing I mentioned to you about salt. You and you alone are light. I don't understand that. You and you alone are light. Wow. That's quite interesting. So the Lord said, I'll tell you what, I'll counter if you're having problems of saying, well, I can't do anything, I can't speak, I can't do anything, and so you just shell up and perhaps as I have here, go into isolation. I don't talk, I don't say anything. Let the preacher do that. Well, preachers can do it too. They can find a fortress, a monastery, a church office. You know, he said, I'll tell you how to counter that. He said, first of all, you know salt is really powerful. Don't you know that? He said, dear, it's very powerful. And it has an influence that it's an invisible thing. If you take meat and you, as we used to do, and even here, cure hams and so forth, it just goes right down into the meat and prevents it from rotting, spoiling. Maybe you ladies like me to say it that way. Spoiling. It's rather invisible. But light is visible. Now, I must tell you this. When I picked this up and I said, well, hey, there's no use in me trying to do something that's already been done. I know Elder Klotz has spent at least two times on this passage talking about scientifically and practically what it means about light. And so I'm not gonna go into that realm, let him talk to you about it. I want to go into the realm here tonight in a little different way. I'm not going at it scientifically. But there is a scientific aspect. The necessity of light. We need light. We need salt. Now, light is a different feature than salt. I would say this to you. So, we're to so live that we bring glory to the Father, verse 16, the last part. It is not you. It's not me. See, I want to be somebody. Hey, listen. The kind of person you want to be is one that will represent Jesus Christ. Not try to be some big shot. Forget that. That's not the way of a beatitude. That's not the way of a kingdom child. Be humble. Some Christians have an idea that they're going to be, you know, I'm going to be something. Our Christians, friends, listen, these were humble Galileans. And he said, ye are salt, ye are the light of the world. And they were. But they trusted him for salvation. And so spiritually speaking, what are you seeing here? I'm seeing that there's a lot of darkness. These three hymns that you have sung this evening spoke about the darkness in the world and the necessity for light in this dark world. Darkness. You know, some of us have an idea about things. They say, well, first of all, preacher, did you ever take any courses in philosophy? Yes. Well, then you know that there are men like Aristotle and some of these great fellows, that they were great philosophers. And Socrates, and that's the thing that this generation needs to hear, the philosophies of these men. This is a great big deal. My roommate was a philosophy major in college. Well, it's a great big deal to say, oh man, this is really something. I mean, you know all these things, but listen, I want to tell you something. What they say, and I'm not saying that they don't have some good ideas. Many of them are trying to show what to do about darkness. But in comparison, you know, they really aren't giving you the light. Christ is the light. He's the one that you got to see. You can't depend upon these philosophers. You can't depend upon men who are trained, so to speak, that, well, like what? You say, well, I'm kind of a conservative kind of fellow, and guys speak conservatively. I listen to them. I think they make a lot of sense. But listen, they're only trying to show you how that there's so much darkness, maybe to make some more laws so we can help us in this all this strange situations. But they don't have the real light, friends. They may be doing something to help us in this situation, but the real light is what the Word of God is, the Word of God, and it is those who have been saved, who know Jesus Christ as Savior. You're the real light. These humble men, you say, well, I don't see that. But it's not the professors. You got to get that in mind. This is the Lord Jesus speaking spiritually. They were all in darkness, dear friends, spiritually speaking. And so the Lord Jesus said, oh, but you have come and you have light. And by the way, I'd like us to go back to Proverbs chapter 4. For I think it shows us clearly something. You go back to Proverbs chapter 4, and there's a section I really ought to like to open up a little more, but in that fourth chapter of Proverbs, it'll help you to understand. If I were to start, like in verse 18, Proverbs 4, you get a perspective of what I'm trying to say here tonight. It tells about the path of the just in verse 18, is as the shining light. What? The path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. Well, I guess I can understand some of that. But it goes on to say, but you know the way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. So my son, so attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my saying. What about the wicked? The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at all at what they have stumbled. Now wait a minute. That isn't right. Why isn't it? Well, I have the idea that here's a man who's been trained. He's not in the dark. And the Bible says if he doesn't know Jesus Christ, he's in the dark. Now get it straight. Don't argue with me. And I want you to know that, even though he may be a nice person and gentleman and all that, but you've got to look at him. That man who does not know Jesus Christ may be a friend, he may be kind, but you've got to say, that man needs Jesus Christ. He needs salvation. I need to talk to, because I am the light of the world. Whoa. Do you know anything about darkness? Yeah, I do. I pity people who say, I don't remember ever being lost. I've always been churched. I've always gone to church. I don't remember ever being a lost person. Boy, that is sad. I feel for people like that. I had my own sister, my young sister, she came in and she said, Bill, I hear certain people speak about their sins before they come to know Christ. And she said, I don't have any. I can't really say I've been a sinner, 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 sinner like some of these people have. See, she didn't understand what sin's all about. And if you think that you're a good guy or a good girl because I've always been in the church, so to speak, and you haven't come to see that you're lost and in sin, you're still in darkness. You can be religious. You can be a Pharisee. You can quote the Bible. You can be a fundamentalist even and be lost. And the Lord Jesus said, but if you are a kingdom child, you demonstrate these attributes in the first 12 verses of Matthew 5, and not only that, to show how to do it, you're to function like salt and you're to function like light. Can't make it more clear than that, friends. And that's what he's saying here. And so I say, how are we supposed to live? How do you put this verses 14, 15 and 16, how are we supposed to live? You see, I believe God has planted us. He's planted his church. I believe this church that we're in tonight has been planted. And we're here and we're to function where we are. You know, the early Christians, they started Jerusalem and they went out. They didn't go from home base to around the world. They started at home base and then they went out further, like the township and like the county and then the state and so forth. But we somehow have you don't have to go that route. We just go wingle. We're going to do that. But that isn't the way. We've been planted. Now, as you're here, wherever you come, that you're to be light, is what the Bible is saying. Oh, but you say, didn't you ever hear that when you're in Rome, you do as the Romans do? What did you say? Didn't you ever hear, preacher, that when you're in Rome, you do as the Romans do? Yeah, I heard that. But that's not what Jesus Christ is saying here to us. He said, that's wrong. Some people have the idea, well, I'm a Christian, but, hey, I'm not one of those weird things. I'm, what do you mean? You mean you're just about like the world? Well, yeah, I guess that's so. Well, I tell you, friends, that's scary. Because if you just like the world, you follow the ways of the world, the fashion of the world, then that's scary. Because you're not radiating Jesus Christ, you're radiating the world. We're to be, a light is distinctive. And it shows, you can see things. Lights turned on, I can see, and I can see clearly. But if the light's not turned on, I can't see clearly. And if you can't see that the light is saying that we're to be distinctive, does that mean I got to put on a black suit and a black hat and a black car and a black horse? Well, that's a, some of the folk who believe that the black is holy, I guess. No, but I'll tell you what it does mean. To be almost like, say, what, two notches behind the world as a Christian? Well, please tell me what that means. Well, ladies, can we pick on you a little bit? I pick on the men, don't I? Say, if they pull if the style comes up, almost to the thigh or wherever, Christians say, oh, no, we Christians can't dress like that, but we can get above the knee. What are you trying to say? Oh, I wouldn't be caught in a mini skirt like that, you might say, but at least I can buy a dress that's a little longer than that, a little shorter than what my grandmother wore, because I want to at least look like I'm not some old thing of some sort. Hey, you're trying to be like the world, just two notches below, huh? Really? I think that this passage is saying, listen, you don't know what salt is, and you don't know what light is. You're to be an influence, and you're to be a distinctive differently. You know, I often say this. It's easy to follow the world, to be nonconformist. You know, the Bible says we're not to conform to the world. Well, anyway, we don't want to be oddballs. Yeah, but Romans 12, and you know it by heart. But you ought to look at it a little bit. How close are you? Just a couple notches behind what the world is in my talk. I want to be Joe Cool, so therefore don't expect me to do anything strange or different. But the Word of God says in Romans 12, verse 1 and 2, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies. It's not yours, it's God's body. A living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, that's your reasonable service. Now watch that verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Be not conformed to this world. You know, why do you do certain things? Why don't, for instance, let's pick on the preacher. Why does a preacher wear that beard for? What's the matter with him? Can't he afford blades? Is he just trying to be different, oddball, strange, weird? No, I believe that God has made men that they should have a beard. Now, fellas, if you're shaved, don't get angry at me. I'm just telling you what I read the believe the Bible says. I believe that we are to have beards. I believe that we're to have not the unity of sex, but there ought to be a distinction. I believe this idea of always making yourself. I think the world is saying that's the way it has to be. Therefore, I do it because the Lord Jesus had a beard. He plucked the hair from his face. And I believe that it shows that we are different. You say, well, that's just, No. I have a reason for doing things. And I think that, well, listen, I cut my fingernails too. But I don't cut my fingernails way back down into here, do I? So you say, well, I have a beard, but I cut it way back into here. Well, brethren, I know. You just have to look. In the Bible, boldness is a sign of mourning. Well, now wait a minute. Be careful. No, I'm not gonna. If somebody disagrees with me on it, that's fine. I said I'm speaking as I see it from the Bible. And if you're just bold and you're shaved up, it's a sign of mourning from the Bible viewpoint. Are you so sad? Where's the joy of the Lord? You say, I don't know what you're getting at. Well, hey, take it for what it's worth. It's not going to be something that we mandate around the place. It's like the matter of your head covering. I believe the Bible teaches that, and you ladies know that. See, don't get on to that. The Bible teaches it. You see, dear, I don't want to pick a fight with you, but if you're going to be conformed to this world, then I'm wondering if we understand what it means to be light. Distinctive. Now you say I can go into all kinds of things with that. No, don't do that. Moderation is still there, and it's not a contradiction of what I'm trying to say here tonight. But the Bible says that we are in the world, but not to be of the world. And yet we don't pay attention to those things. I mean, hey, that's the way I am. Ho, ho! I thought the Lord was saying, I want you to, these beatitudes need to be every day for us. And that I think that the truth of the matter is that we need to practice our beatitudes. Have you practiced any of these beatitudes? You say, well, I know the Lord. Do you know anything about them? Do you practice, my friend, about being salt, as that you're preventing the rottenness that's going on and letting your light shine? Jesus bids us to shine, you in your corner and I in mine. And the matter of light, that we have an influence. I think that we ought to turn to John 3. That's right close. Because I want you to see something there in light of this whole subject that Jesus bids us to shine. And how does that do? Well, in this third chapter, you know John 3:16, and God does love the world. And I think it's the rule of believers. But anyway, John 3, look at verse 19 if you turn with me to that verse. I start to read in verse 19 of the third chapter of John. And try to figure out what we're trying to show here. Verse 19, and this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world. That's our blessed Lord. Amen. But men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved or discovered. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest. Not go in isolation and camouflage and try not to, I'm not a Christian, I'm like the rest of my neighbors. No, no. That his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Now, I'm not proud of this, but when I was associating with barrooms, I knew this after the Lord saved me. There's something to that, the barrooms are kind of dark and so forth. Verse 19 says, hey, that's the reason. You liked it, didn't you? Well, this condemnation is that light has come into the world, and men love the darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. I knew better. Sure I did. And why did you do it? Well, I loved it. And I liked it dark, too. And it was wrong. And if there's things that you're doing, you say, well, I just do that. Why do you do it? Why aren't you obeying the Lord? Why aren't you light? Why aren't you distinctive? Why don't you ask the Lord to help you with that matter? It says, you know, the truth of the matter is everyone that doeth evil hateth the light. And you talk about the Lord Jesus and say, I don't want to hear that. Every time you talk to me, you want to talk to me about being saved. I've had people tell me that. That's all right. I mean, you need to expect that. Now, where do you get that? I get it from the Beatitudes. The kingdom children to expect it. Oh, I don't want anybody to say, hey, I want to be... No, wait a minute. It's I. But the Bible says there in Matthew, it says the Lord. It's not you. That you should so live and let your light so shine that they'll see that you do believe in doing good works and that God will be glorified. God is glorified. Not you, not me, but God be glorified. Now, how do we do good works? Well, I don't think we put up a big poster here. Now I'm going to tell you what. No. It is this. When you're in the midst of people, in the midst of men, in the midst of women, and things start, there's gossip going and so forth, don't participate. If the boss is being ripped apart from A to Z, don't participate. You say, well, what are you trying to say? I'm saying is that if we're going to do good works and we're going to have the approval of God and God be glorified, we cannot be like the world. We are to be distinct and different. Light shows us up. That's what we're supposed to be. I know there's ramification of that. It goes, you know, it's strong. I understand that. But we're to demonstrate the light of Christianity. That's what we're to do. Because our Lord Jesus, and he says he'll do this, he'll save some out of darkness. And we need to give the gospel. The Spirit of God, he takes the Word of God, and he saves people. But we need to give that Word. We need to talk about Jesus. And he said, I want you to shine. I bid you to shine. He says that where? Let your light so shine before men. Let it shine. But you see, we're to live as light. If we do the same thing as the world does, right, there's no difference. And I tell you this, they're blaming us Christians, and like our brother said this morning, accusing us of being hypocrites. But it's true that the Statistics show that we Christians, so to speak, are up almost with the world in a matter of divorce. And we're supposed to, God hates divorce. And we made vows. And yet Christians are breaking, they're getting divorced. Now something's not quite right. Is God being glorified? And say, hey, you know, that guy there, you see, you can talk what you want to. You said he's a Christian, but he's been divorced. Hey, say what you want to. That guy's immoral. She's immoral. She really is. And yet, on the other hand, they say they're Christians. And God says, no, no, no. Let that light shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify not you but your Father which is in heaven. That speaks of intimacy. My Father. What is the difference? What's the difference in your life and others? In my life and others? Something to ask yourself. We're to reflect the light of the Lord Jesus. Okay, in the sun time, the sun shines, we have the light of the sunshine, yes. Well, how does that fit in? And so, when the sun goes down and we see the moon is reflecting the sun, right? Okay, that's what we're to be. We're to be like a moon. We're to reflect the Lord Jesus. He's the light, and we're the reflectors. We've been illuminated by the Lord Jesus. How beautiful it is for the moon to shine. How glorious it is. Are you shining for Jesus? And it's what light is this? What light are you talking about here? I believe it's the light of eternal salvation. He wants us. I believe that it's really speaking about that our mission is to be light in this world. That's what we're here for. The Bible also speaks about that we give off a fragrance. Yeah. But no, it does. There's a fragrance of life and a fragrance of death. I don't want to give off a fragrance of death. But you will. If you talk about the Lord Jesus, there are some people who just say, I don't want to hear any more of that. I don't believe that stuff. And you know, you give them the gospel, but it was a fragrance of death. They'll die in their sins and they'll go to hell. That's not your responsibility. You've done, and you give off a fragrance also of life. You say, that's what I want. I want to give off a fragrance of life all the time. I don't want to give off any fragrance of death. But if you're honest with people's souls, and you tell them about the Lord Jesus, and they don't care about it, you just give them the fragrance of death. But that's, say, I don't want to do that. But that's the way it is. And if we talk about the Lord Jesus, that's what happens. Well, you see, this matter of a bushel. You want to go back to that bushel there? I want to look at that bushel before I quit here tonight. What bushel? Well, it's right here in this verse, the matter of verse 15, a bushel. Or as it is, I believe, in the Greek, a peck. It's just strange. Men don't light a candle and put it on a bushel. See, that isn't, they don't do that. But what they put it on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house, that are in the house. Now, why would I put a bushel over the light? That doesn't make sense, Lord. Put a bushel. But if you understand it spiritually, and as I believe it really means, that we can do this. And I'm having a little hard time figuring out how to explain this to you, but I'll try. There's a whole lot of things in this life that may be good. You got to do them. You know, you got to take care of some things, and they got to be done. But I've been in places where people are so perfect that all the tools are just right, and I say, oh, man, that's great. That's just wonderful. I mean, walk in a shop and pick up a tool, that's just glorious. And go into a study and know exactly where everything is. Some of us are not that way. But it might be prioritizing. I had, as I told you, a man from Virginia. Some of you know Jeff Young. And Jeff was, we were talking. He said, you've got to prioritize in this day in which you live. And I said, yeah, that's an old story. I heard that a lot of times. But seek ye first the kingdom of God. and his righteousness and all these other things that I may... Good things now, come on! Good things that are so important that I spend my time doing and doing. But he said, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Prioritize! Do you prioritize? Are you seeking the kingdom of God first? Or all these good things that need to be done, that has priority. See this passage? Don't think it's so elementary and that you know all the answers to it, because I find it a hard passage. Say, well, I don't think there's any hard about it. You don't have any bushel that you put over the light of Jesus Christ. It may be good things. Good things. And you take all these good things, all things we got to do, and we take them, and we whomp right over our light. I got to do this. And consequently, we hide a little bit. We don't get out. We're busy, busy doing this, busy doing that. We don't write cards. We don't talk to people. We just do our little thing because we have a life, and that life's so important and so full of things that we put in the bushel. We take the bushel and put it right over us. The Lord says, no. You're silly. The good and necessary things of life, yes, that's true. But you can really get busy with good things. You really get busy with good things to the extent that you're not seeking the kingdom of God and you're not showing light. Your good thing is just cloud over all the matter of doing good for good things and glorifying the Father. Isn't that convicting? To me, it's convicting if you know your own heart. You say, I don't care. All right. I understand this, and I'm going to stand before God and give an account for my life, and so are you. And so if you think it's going to be a picnic, I tell you, friends, to have the commendation of the Lord is just marvelous. But if we're not careful while we're here, we're to be as light in this dark world. This world is dark. And this world, if I may use a crude way, this world is rotting. And it's demoralizing. It's going on down the road very fast. I just can't believe how fast it's going. You say, well, that's just the last days. I'm telling you, the Lord Jesus said, if you're mine and you're a kingdom child, and he said, these are the attributes that you need to demonstrate, the attributes, and you're to carry it out by being salt. And be in light. Are you visible as a Christian? Oh, they see me going to church. Well, that's commendable. But are you giving the light? Is there any radiance? And or are you camouflaging? You know, he's a nice guy. I know he's a nice guy. I know she's a nice person. But you're camouflaging the light. And he said, I don't want you to do that. Let your light so shine before men that they may see. I think we got some homework to do. Someone said you can either be a potatoes or eggs. What do you mean by that? Well, you put them in water, heat the water. Potatoes get soft. And eggs get hard. Now, which are you, a potato or are you egg? Well, I don't know what you mean. Spiritually, maybe you understand it. Are you hard or are you soft? I think to show verse 16 does mean that we'll have to put some congeniality to it. I don't think that we're to hammer people. You know, there's a place where you have to be forthright and some of us know what that means, but I think to be congenial and friendly and winsome, hey, that really is. That the matter of good works, there has somewhat that connotation of a winsomeness. Don't try to be crude. And so, but let your light, that is eternal salvation and the matter of salvation, let it shine before men that they may see your good works and be winsome. And not only winsome, but that you glorify your Father, which is in heaven. I say to you and to myself, you know, we're to practice the Beatitudes daily. And I'm supposed to take, if I can use it now, you're so used to turning lights on, you wouldn't understand that. But they had a light that was a little potter, made from a potter's wheel, round, had little rims around it, and you put the oil in there, and out the spout, so to speak, was a flax wick. And that wick, as some of us who were raised when we didn't have electricity, that had to be trimmed. And we're to trim our wick. And I think that spiritually, are we doing much trimming? Are we letting it go and it gets smoky and smelly? We don't bother trimming our lamps. And if we have oil, the Spirit of God, isn't that wonderful? The anointing of the Spirit of God, and keep our wicks trimmed, I think we'll fit into this subject, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. Now let's sing a hymn. And if you think it's childish, you just go ahead and think it if you like. I'm going to sing it, as I believe that it's 653, by the way. I believe that it's a good hymn to close on, 653. Jesus bids us shine with a pure, clear light, a light that lit the candle burning in the night. In this world of darkness, let us shine.
Jesus is a shine with a pure, clear light, like a little candle burning in the night. In this world of darkness, oh, let us shine. You in your small corner and I in mine. Jesus is a shine, first of all, for him. Oh, well, he sees and knows it. Our light grows dim.